Yeah, so I don't know where they are yet. Okay. Okay. Ah, look at this. Some fellows are here. Okay, welcome everybody. Okay, good to see everyone's face. It's been too long. Let's continue in the Shulchan Aruch Shimon Tzadi Chest. Sif Dalet. Iser Shinis Bashal Ima Heter Afilo Makiro V'Sholem V'Zrak Uzrako Sar Shishim Kenei Kol Is From Neishain On Yodim Kame Yatsa Mi Menu. Right, if this is the example we keep using, a piece of ham falls into your vegetable soup and is cooked with it. And then you find the ham and you throw it in the garbage. You don't know how much taste came out of this ham. Let's say the ham is 3 ounces. Again, it's always fluid ounces. As I mentioned, this is 2 days, we go by volume. Let's say the ham is 3 ounces. Obviously, 3 ounces of taste didn't come out. There's still a lot of taste left in the ham that you have no way of knowing. Since you have no way of knowing, you measure as if all the taste come out and you need 60 times the whole size of the ham, 180 ounces, to be mevatalit. Okay. Even though you might, and this is whether it's mino or lo bimino, you know, we don't say suffer gerber l'kul in this because it's just chesed yediyah, theoretically. You know, you could do a lot of experiments, but we haven't done them. Okay, so that's the rule. We consider as if all the taste came out. Therefore, if you cook in a treif pot, the pot is bas yoma, right? So the taste that comes out of it is the shevach. Oh, a tochev kafshel is beheter, or you stick a treif spoon, which is ben yomo, into your mutter food. So she's going to call it today. We're going to call it Shachot and talk about a calf. She's going to yodim kama bolu beichim shalcheres weitz omateches. You need 60 times the whole pot. You need 60 times the whole spoon or whatever part of the spoon you stuck in your pot because we don't know. Here, there are two things we don't know. We don't know how much time ever went into the pot and then we don't know how much time came out of the pot. But since we don't know, we have to assume the worst, just like by the ham. So we assume that pot got full of treif taste when it cooked 22 hours ago, a ham, and now all the treif taste came out, so you need 60 times the whole pot, etc. Okay, then it's just some chazara continuing the mechaber without the ramav. And 3 words ramav, and no again, kasvar rishona. Okay, that we remember, this is the Rebbeinu Peretz, right? It says, right, if it's a metal spoon, then the taste of the whole spoon goes in, and we don't pasken like him. That's just chazara, we know that already. Now, I want to point out, if you look in the Beis Yosef here, or the Shach quotes in Sif Katan Yud Beis, this is a machlokas Rishonim. Both in the Chaticha, it's a machlokas between most Rishonim versus the Orchos Chayim, and in the Pat, it's a machlokas between most Rishonim and the Ravid. And it seems that the Sheet of the Ravid and the Orchos Chayim are the exact same Sheet. Just each of them, you know, the Orchos Chayim must have gotten this Masoros and got from the Ravid, they live in the same place. And they were each talking about different cases. It all starts with the Gemara about Chal. The Gemara says about a Chal that falls into your when the chal falls into your meat, right? And then it becomes treif. You treat it, the Gemara says, how do you know how much tam came out of this chal into the rest of your food? The Gemara says, Misharin bekule de'i b'may de'nafik mine lo yadinan. Right, that is right here. Tzadi Zayin of Beis. How do you measure 60 can I get a cow? The whole size of the cow or just what came out of it? Obviously, it's not a question. You have to be mishar can I get the whole cow. Why? Because you don't know how much taste came out of it. And therefore, you have to be mishar can I get the whole cow. Now, here we have a machlokas between the Ravid slash Orchos Chayim. versus all the other Rishonim. The case of a cow was a cow that was cooked, and they say Masas Devela became treif. Everyone agrees if you have treif, you're Mashar Keneged Kulov. If you have something which is Be'etzim treif, you're Mashar Keneged Kulov. Right? Everyone agrees if you have something which is irrevocably treif, or fundamentally treif, you're Mashar Keneged Kulov. What is the Machlokes Rishonim, 1 second. So, if you have something, let's say we have a chaticha. If you have a chaticha of Isser, Misharin Keneged Kulo. What if you have chaticha, and the chaticha is not an Isser, it just has Isser inside it, such as a liver, which you cook and has blood inside it. The liver's not treif, just the blood inside is treif. What if it's heter sheyesh betocho iser? Right? The that's the example he gives. Let me just is the a heter sheyesh betocho iser? Like for example, a kavi that is dam here in the Orchos Chaim says Misharin Be'omid Yafet, you just make an estimate as to how much Isser came out, and the other Rishonim say Misharin Keneged Kulo. Right, so in other words, the Orchos Chaim assumes that's only if it's a piece of treif for Misharin Keneged Kulo. But if it's kosher, that just has treif inside, we're only mishar, well, midyafet. But we don't pass it that way. We pass it, we're always mishar, negative kulo, just because we're not confident to make that only midyafet. Parallel, when it comes to a kedera, if it's a kedera scheres, right, which is basically irrevocably treif, misharin negative kulo. But what if it's what we call a klishetef? Like Eitzim Ateches, something kasherable, right? Eitzim Ateches, something kasherable. Then we have a parallel machlokas, says the Ravid, Misharin, Ben-Om, and Yafe. Says the other Rishonin, note, Misharin, Keneged Kulo. Right, what's the yesod of the machlokas? We have this Gemara Tzai design number days, Misharin, Keneged Kulo, which is about something that's treif. It comes after the words, nasis nevela, but not necessarily connected to. The Rambam Neir Chaim says, connect to only something which is totally treif, you're mashar keneged kulo. Something just has treif inside, you're not mashar keneged kulo. Well, you say, no, you're always mashar keneged kulo, because the logic, minayadina, how are we supposed to know how much came out? So we must, like the other Rishonim, whether it's treif or whether it's just kosher that has some treif inside, anytime you need to make an omed yafa, we don't know how to make the omed yafa, and we're mashar keneged kulo. That is the accepted takhalacha. There's really no two ways about it. Okay, some details that come up here is the first rama. Says the first rama, will batch a balo of the reticha sa'ish. When you mashar keneged the whole kli, if the whole kli was below a treif, such as it was on the fire, sha'azab li olechs kol kli, avoli de reticha smalicha, eno nivlo b'kli rak de klipa, bein tzor klishar rak de klipa, ba'ayin le'el simen samach test. This is number pasha. When do you have to, how can I get the whole kli? When the whole kli is bolea, like it cooked, but if the kli only salted treif, salt is only mavli into a kli k'dei klipa, and therefore you only need 60 times the k'dei klipa the kli. And someone tell me, without looking at the shach, what the shach will say, what other case would you only need 60 times k'dei klipa the kli, if it absorbed through? Iroi. Right? Because Tata Gavra, not the baker with Vadikli Klipa, if it absorbed through Iroi or Melicha, you only need 60 times Kadei Klipa. If it absorbed through cooking, then you need 60 times the whole Kli. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Now, the end of the Ramah says a new point. Let's go to the second Ramah after the three words read, but no, I'm sorry, Shona. Chol Isser Shemavatlam Beshishim, Imakiro Tzarech Lasiro Misham, Afagad Lifarnas Batal Tamod Beshishim. Okay, this should be obvious sauce. Hopefully we never had a havmina otherwise. Let's go back to the ham. 2 ounce ham falls into my vegetable soup. Lucky me, the vegetable soup is 150 ounces. That's more than 60 times. So it's batel l'shishim. Does that mean I can eat the piece of ham? If I'm makir, if I see the ham, of course I have to take the ham out and throw it out. The tam of the ham is batel l'shishim, but the be'en of the ham doesn't turn kosher. And if I see what's a vegetable soup, I can see what's ham, what's a vegetable soup. Then it's not like I have vegetable soup and I've chopped up, you know, kosher carrots and treif carrots. Okay, then I don't know which they are. But over here, like, I know what the ham is. Obviously, it's another pasha. If the isser is nicker, if I can find the isser, then that's not batel. So what's the 16? When batel is tam that comes out of the ham, not the ham itself. And as the Gilui Narsha says, nearly to be doraisu. Yes, that's pretty obviously midoraisa. Okay, he quotes a Taz here that there seems to be one weird day in Hokusoko seems to question this. But that's weird. Right. Yeah. No, because the Moshe of Isser still has some time left in it. Okay. So now, just to be fair, he says, look, the Taz quotes this weird little fush who seems to say that it's not Doraisa. But that's very strange. Like, you know, if I treif apples and kosher oranges, I mix up apples and oranges, of course it's also even Doraisa to eat that mixture. I have to take out the apples and leave the oranges. Right? It's only called the Tarovis if you can't tell which is which. You know, if it's separable, then it's not a Tarovis in the first place. It's not shy to talk about Bittul. Right? This is a Dover Pasha. We'll see a little later. This is one of the big questions in terms of bugs. Right? Meaning, if I have bugs on my lettuce, are they batel midoraisa? Or do we say no, since I can just look at the bugs and take them off? They're not batel midoraisa. And basically, we'll see, we're not going to go through this now, that everyone agrees, if I just have a fly staring at me on my lettuce, then I guess I'll eat the lettuce and midoraisa, it's okay because it's batel b'shishim. I don't know, I can see it and remove it. That's also midoraisa. That's not considered a mixture. That's considered two things next to each other. Right? That's like the apples and oranges. No one's going to say midoraisa. You can eat the treif apples because they're mixed with kosher oranges. On the other hand, if there are bugs that are not findable, then everyone agrees they are batel midoraisa. Right? The question is exactly where to draw the line. Right? How nicker, how findable and identifiable do the bugs have to be to say, well, this is not, this is an issue midoraisa. They're not going to be mixed. Just remove them. That's a big machlokas that we'll get to. Okay. But let's look at the Ramah's chiddush here. Now the Ramah has a chiddush. What's the Ramah's chiddush? What if the isser is not nicker? You can't see it, but it is removable. You can't see it, but you have a machine that can remove it. Right? Is that batel or not? Right? Not if mamish it's nicker, like the ham in my vegetable soup. That's pashat also no rice and eat that ham. What do you mean? The ham's not mixed with the vegetable soup. The time of the ham mixed in and eats batel b'shishim. The ham is just sitting there looking at me. Happens to be next inside the vegetable soup. Inside is not mixed. Again, if I put one tray of apple and 100 kosher oranges, no one's going to say the apple becomes mutter. Just eat the orange stuff. Don't eat the red stuff. Okay. But now there is a chiddush. What if I can't see the isser, but there's a way to remove the isser? Right? There's a magic Ali Shor which can remove the isser. Right? And what's the case? Called isser shemvat v'shishim v'kirot tzorach l'asir v'misham afgad v'sad bat v'tam v'shishim we read. V'lachein, he extends this. Right, remember how water and oil don't mix? Anyone ever have like chicken soup or anything like that? Sure you've done it. Right, chicken soup has water and oil in it, right? The oil is the chicken fat, and the water is because you put water in, right? In what circumstances do the water and oil mix? In what circumstances do they not? Heat. When you cook the soup and it's hot, it's all mixed. Because the oil melts into the water. When you put the soup in the fridge afterwards, the water stays in the bottom and the fat as oil congeals on top, right? It's just a matter of temperature. Now, I understand the Ramah didn't have refrigerators, but they weren't so primitive. They figured these things out. So what did he say? If treif chela folds into a top shell, obviously it doesn't mean a top shell that's oil-based. It means a water-based top shell, right? V'nitzbatel tamo b'shishim, even if it's less than a 60th, you have to pour cold water, cool it off. When you cool it off, nowadays we'd say put it in the fridge, the chela will float and congeal on the top, and then you can skim it off. Meaning, even though it's batel b'shishim, the chiddush is, even if it's removable, that's like it's nicker, and you have to remove it. Since if you could remove it, it's difficult to see it. You have to remove it. Okay, that is the chiddush of the Rambam. There's a machlokes achronim. I don't think it really makes it onto the page between the kresi uplesi and the aruch hashulchan as to whether this Rambam's extension is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. If it's not nikkur but is removable, right? Not visible, but removable. What does removable mean? You could do some scientific process that'll make it visible, right? You could press a button on a machine and make it come out. So you have to remove it. That's clear the Rambam. But on what level says the kresi uplesi? As we understand, I should hear a day here. The rumatumah. It's the might be rumatumah choshemish, but says the kresi uplesi. This is chayav lahasiro midrabanan. This is the chayav drabanan. It's only drabanan that you have to get the chaylev out of this. Midoraisa, it's bottle because it's all mixed in. The fact that you could separate it doesn't change the fact that now it's a tarobis. Midoraisa, it's now a tarobis and bottle. Only midrabanan you have to remove it. What din drabanan does this fall into? So he says, midin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin. We all know the rule davar sheyesh lo matirin is not mutter. Classic davar sheyesh lo matirin means there's a way to just make everything mutter. But here also there's a way to make it mutter by taking out the yeser. So I mean, drabanan, if there's a way to make it mutter, you can't rely on bittul. That's only drabanan. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says, right here, they're both right here if you want to look them up, they're just on the page of your regular Shulchan Aruch, says the Aruch HaShulchan, no, chayav lahasiro. You have, it's midoraisa, not bottle. That's basically the machlokas is, if right now it's ma'ur of yafa and invisible, but there's a way to remove it, does that make it midoraisa, tarobas just midrabanan, there a machmer? Or does that mean midoraisa? Right now you can't see it, but since it's biyado to remove it, that's not mixed. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, midoraisa, you can't remove it, midin, nikar ha'isr. This is the din, as if it was visible, as if it was a ham in your vegetable soup or an apple in your oranges. I think Shai Rama sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan. Because he keeps saying, since you couldn't remove it, it's as if you're makirit. I am the crazy place you would say, it means Lavdavka, but I think Pashtus of the Rama is certainly on the side of the Aruch HaShulchan. There is an interesting nafkamina. Again, I don't know whether the odds will ever come up. What if... If you did this trick of putting it in the fridge and removing the oil, it would ruin your tafshel. Says the crazy place. See, then you can eat it because that's not yesh latiran. Yesh latiran is only if there's a way to be matur without ruining it. That's a mefurish like some kuf bays sif bays or something. But then it's yesh latiran is only if it's practical. If it's not practical, no. The Aruch HaShulchan would say, and he says. He's supposed to be a place and says, I disagree. No, midoraisa, it's not a tarobis. It doesn't matter if you're going to ruin the whole thing. You can't eat it. Okay, interesting machlokas. I don't know how to be machri of this machlokas, but usually not the maisa.
How do we define removable? I mentioned those things like
that. Ah, so what do we mean by removable? Great question. This is similar how we define it. Look, removable means removable by normal, by non-extraordinary means. Right? Everything's removable. I mean, not everything. But everything's removable nowadays. Modern science, you can remove a lot of things from your car. Not with regular households. Right? That's, of course, the problem with these things. That maybe that's why the crazy places disagree. They're so insane. They're so. Everything's theoretically anything. You know, you can't say midoraisa, that's not bottle. You say midrabanan. Okay, that makes more sense. Midrabanan. What you can do in your house, you should know. You know, you don't have to get a centrifuge. And the Arshon would say, no, midoraisa. Well, Dina midoraisa also depend on normalcy. Okay. Yeah, I think that's true. We hold fundamentally the Doraisa depends on normalcy.
So I would say that someone quotes the crazy place to argue with
him. The Aruch HaShulchan. No. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes the crazy place to argue with him. What I meant to quote Kuf Beis is that in Kuf Beis we say that a Dar Sheish Matirin, you can rely on Bittul if mattering it would ruin it. So that's where the crazy place he comes up with his Nafkamina. But that's not, that's just the background effect. Okay. End of the Ramah. That's also from that Gemara of Chal. It says, even if it falls into many, pots each time you need 60 connecto. What does it mean? The ham fell into one vegetable soup. It was multiple shishim, great. Fell into another vegetable soup, multiple shishim, another vegetable soup. Do I still need shishim connecto? After all, if the tom went into the first pot, there was no tom left for the second pot. If it went into the second pot, there's no tom left for the third pot. And if it went into the third pot, why did I need shishim in the first pot? What? Exactly, it didn't stop us now either. V'chein le'olam. He says, why? Because it's basically the same principle. What's it doing in the sif? The same principle. If we don't know, we have to be machmir. Basically, of course, the tom of the ham can't go into the first pot, second pot, and third pot. There's only a limited amount of ham. However, since we don't know if it will go into the first pot, second pot, third pot, half and half, third and third, you know, sixth, third and a half, you know, a quarter, half and a quarter, etc., we have to be machmir, because whenever we don't know, we have to be machmir, and therefore in the first pot we say, maybe it all went into the first pot. And when it falls in the second pot, we say, maybe none of the taste went into the first pot, it all went into the second pot. V'chein, hala. Okay, that's, we should be familiar with this basic approach. Yes? No, kama kama bottle is the opposite, is if many hams fall into one pot.
No, that's
pretty much
says that if it falls in the same one, you only need to do one.
We didn't read that part. Yes. Okay. Okay. But if it falls into the same pot twice, the ham falls into vegetable soup, I take it out and I put it in a very safe place, which happens to be a very slippery place, and it falls back into the vegetable soup. Right? Now, remember, this is reminiscent to us from the spoon twice. Right? And remember, we Ashkenazim said, even if you put in the spoon twice, you only need one shishim. Likewise, if the ham falls in twice, you only need one. You only need one shishim connecto. This is what Noah meant. This is like kama kama batal, right? That's what we explained. That's what we explained at the time. The other Nerus Gamel don't explain here, just the Gra does. But maybe it's based on kama kama batal, although the Gra doesn't want to say that because the Ramah doesn't say it depends if you realize it or not. So the Gra says, and I think we mentioned this at the time, what's the Svara? The Svara is, again, this is a very hard Svara. I said it over once, it took us a long time to process it. Maybe I'll just footnote that we said this over once already. But the Svara is the first time ham taste goes into your vegetable soup. The second time, well, you can't have more ham taste because we want to shop. There's only one ham worth of taste. Right? You can't have all the taste go out in your pot and then all the taste go out in the pot again. It's one pot. It can only get up to one ham's worth of taste. The only problem would be the chanan. First time the ham taste went in. Second time, the chanan vegetable taste went into the ham and then went back into your pot. But since the chanan vegetable taste is vegetable and vegetables, min bamino, they weren't gozer that min bamino needs batel. They were only gozer that min bamino needs batel. It needs bittel when it's something which could lead to min she'eino mino. Like, for example, if treif vegetables fell into my soup, I'd need shishim connectum in case treif ham fell in. If treif vegetables fell into my soup twice, I'd need shishim connect both of them in case lard fell in twice. But over here, if the same ham falls in twice, then it can never lead to an issur d'oraisa because as long as I have 60 times the ham, it's not going to change the taste of my pot, so therefore they weren't gozer shishim. Okay, one last thing we should point out, this long taz, and I guess the longest shach on this if, the sheet of the bach that no one likes. This is very fascinating. It says, here's two cases. What if you have chelev in a top shell, and you have a 60-to-1 ratio? Mutter, but you have to cool and remove. That is the Ramah. What about the following case? Chelev in my top shell, and it's a 50-to-1 ratio. So that's usser. But what if I cool it and I remove the chelev? What if I put it in the fridge and I skim the chelev off the top? What if I cool and remove the chelev? Does that make it mutter? Because it takes away the chelev. That's machlokes in the Bach and all the other achronim. Yeah, I don't mean only the Bach, right? The Bach, they all quote that the Bach was somich himself in the Hagos, Isser v'heter. meaning not the Yisra Heter. I've gone on the back of the Yisra Heter. But
says the Bach Mutter, says everyone else, Shach and Tazir and the Poskim and everyone else, Osir. What's the Machlokis?
The Shach says, well, I put in the Chalub, I remove the Chalub, there's no more Treif.
Right? At least this is a simple shot. What's the Svara? Svara is, there's no more Chalub, I removed it.
Oh, why do we disagree with him? We say, you removed the Chalub, but you didn't remove the Tam of the Chalub. It's just like taking out the ham. You took out the ham, there might still be some time of the ham.
So what do we say? We say, you removed the chalev, the N, but not the tam of the chalev.
Right? The tam of the chalev still stays, even if you remove the chalev itself. You remove the fat, but the tam of the fat is still in there, so that's not going to help. I mean, the Bach says there's a chumra and a kula, this freezing trick. Not freezing, cooling trick. If it's already batal in 60 and 100 and 200, it's a chumra, you still have to remove it. But if it's not batal, it's only 1 in 20, 30, 40, it helps to remove it. Now you've solved the problem. They say, no, it's only a chumra, it's not a kula. It only takes out the ben, it doesn't take out the tam. So you have to take out the ben if you can. But the tam, you're still stuck with. And that's how we pass it. Certainly. Yes.
Even if you are somehow able to move the tam,
So what if you're able to remove the tam? So it's a great question. We'll see this. We'll see this a little later. What if you pass the nam b'shari surin, but you remove all the tam? But I'll give you a spoiler now. We paskin that since chanam b'shari surin is drabanan, at least. If you actually can remove all the time, it becomes mutter. I think that's about it for Sif Dalet. Now we're ready for Sif Hei. Sif Hei starts out very simple. Im yadua kama hu ha'isr. Right, they make it complicated. The Taz brings down here the machlokas mechaber amah, meaning Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe, what the Torah held. But it didn't change the logic at all. If the Torah held one way, the Torah held the other way, it could be a lot of proofs. It doesn't change the svaras of what the shitas are. Im yadua kama hu ha'isr. Kegon kaf kadosho she'en bas yoma she'nirga. Ubalak zayis chalav. Ve'achrach nirga kederish shel basar. Okay, the reason he's using basar and chalav, we'll see in a moment, even though it's helpful to cover both. Ein tzarech l'shishon v'atalak zayis she'bala. Okay, what are we saying here? The Ramah gives a very nice sikum to this half of the mechaber. The law meaning gabi kli hatira nasa devela filum near rabo iser. We don't say about a kli itself chanan. Okay, now in the mechaber's case, of course, we wouldn't say chanan. If you just stirred milk, you can't say chanan because it's still water. But even if you stirred lard or pork or whatever you call it, according to Ashkenazim, the kli itself wouldn't be chanan. What do we mean here? So what do we? If you take a new kli, or if you want ene ben yomo counts as new. Why? Because all the blios inside it are halachically meaningless. Bidi of it. You take a new kli and you cook 1 ounce of milk. How much milk does it have in it? Only 1 ounce. You take a kli, that's obvious. You take a kli, not shaykhaz chanan, nothing's usher. Right. Even if you take a kli and you cook 1 ounce of lard, how much treif is in this pot? Only 1 ounce. Because the pot itself can't become chanan. Only food can become chanan, not the pot itself. Okay, that's the first half. And therefore, if I take a kli that's new or ein ben yomo, which are the same for our purposes, and I stir 1 ounce of milk with a spoon, it's a big spoon, but I stir 1 ounce of milk, and then I put it in my chicken soup. I only need 60 ounces, 60 times the 1 ounce of milk. All we said, we measure the whole kli. That's if the whole kli might be full of milk. But if we have a way to limit how much milk, that's when we don't know. If I stirred a pot of milk with a spoon, I don't know how much milk went into the spoon. Now I stir my chicken soup, I don't know how much milk came out. So if I don't know, I have to mock with the whole spoon, or the part of the spoon that was inside, etc. Give me a second. But here I know, I only stirred 1 ounce of milk, and nothing else in the last 24 hours. If I only stirred 1 ounce of milk, there's only 1 ounce of milk in the spoon. There's obviously less than 1 ounce of milk, but it's a maximum 1 ounce of milk. If I stirred 1 ounce of lard, there's only 1 ounce of lard in the spoon. And we don't say the spoon is hanan, because kalim can't become hanan, only foods can become hanan.
Is that true? I thought we did a
No. So you're thinking about the next line of the Machaber. You're talking about the Bligas inside the Kippur becoming Kanan, not the Kli becoming Kanan. Remember the Ramah said at the end there that if it's a Kli Chadasha, we don't have Kanan. Kli Chadash, we don't have Kanan. Today we're Chadasha. That's what I was thinking of. Back in Sadi Beis. You're thinking of those Sadi Beis Kipas Cholov that fell on the outside of a pot. That was all if it was full of Blios, not if it was just a pure pot. Yes, and let's read on and you'll see it. Aval kaf yeshana obas yoma misharin bekula the chola shabala nasa iser v'lo yedin and kama bala. Here again, the Ramah does a nice job explaining. But what if it was an old, again, keep in mind, we use the words funny. We Jews use the word funny here. When we say new, we mean either brand new or used 24 hours ago. When we say old, we mean used 23 hours ago. So old means recently used. New means new or used a long time ago. So the words are a little backwards, but conceptually they make perfect sense. New means there's no significant blios, no blios that are benyolo. Old means it's been used in this 24 hours. But if it's full of blios, let's say this spoon is full of meat blios, and I stir 1 ounce of milk. Now, all the blios inside the spoon become chanan, and that's what we remember from doing Sadi Beis, Yoni. All the blios inside the spoon become chanan. And now, if I stir a pot of anything, the whole spoon, all the blios in the spoon are chanan, I need 60 times the whole spoon, or for us Ashkenazim, if I had stirred innocent vegetables with the spoon, lots of vegetables, and then 5 hours later stirred 1 ounce of lard, now all the vegetable blios in the spoon become chanan, and the whole spoon is full of chanan blios. And now if I stir anything, I need 60 times the whole spoon. That is the shita of the Rashba, which is that the Kli itself can't become Chanan if it's new, which is why the Ramah said in Smin Sadi Beis, it's a Kedir Chadasha, we don't have to worry about Chanan. But the Blias in the Kli can become Chanan, that's the Rashba. And it's not only the Rashba, it's all the Rishonim from Smin Sadi Beis, from the Tipa that landed on it, right? Who were all those Rishonim? They were the Smak and the Smag and the Maharim Rutenberg, right, all the Rabbi Yechiel, all those Ashkenazi Rishonim, they all say the Blias and the Kli can become Chanan, as opposed to V'yech Mishomer Shagam Bezumin Tzarech HaLashish Amat Folks Aishab Allah. There's a Yechomer. The Yechomer is the Ramban. Beis Yosef thinks the Ran also leans toward the Ramban. Because the Ramban quoted this Machlok, because he means that the Yechomer says, no, even Blias and the Kli have become Chanan. And that, Yoni, this Yechomer is against everything we learned in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. Okay, that's the Yechomer. But as the Ramah says, sorry, Shon Iker, we don't hold like the Yeshomrim, which is why we've been assuming there's Hanan until now. Not there's Hanan in the Kli itself. We've been assuming until now there's Hanan in the Blios inside the Kli, because sorry, Shon Iker, because we don't hold like the Yeshomrim. Kemoshin is Marla El, Gabitipas Cholosh, and Nuflala Tira. As the Ramah says, how do I know this sorry, Shon is Iker? Because that's what we've been assuming when the whole Simon Sadi being, the Tipa falls in it, the Blios inside become Hanan. Okay. Now, I think we need a new board. We actually need new markers. But remind me next time to bring new markers. Let's just get the old board. Sorry, excuse me for turning my back to you. Yes. Yeah. Correct. Meaning, okay, correct. You know what? Let me put this on the board, okay? Because Noach says very well. I want to make sure we're all clear on this. Everything I'm putting on the board is just logic. I'm not making any chidushim in Lumbus, but we have to be clear on how to analyze logic. So let's make ourselves clear. Right? This is like classic, like your idea, you have to like work out the logic. So let me give some examples, including Noah's example. And and we will we'll illustrate this. Okay? Hopefully we can all read these markers. Let's just assume something, right? Let's assume the calf is 10 ounces, okay? That's an assumption. we can work off. Makes it a little easier.
Now, what's the first case? The first case is, and
let's assume something else. The now I stirred wheat. Okay?
Now, what's one case? One case is that,
let's take this case. Is that what happened beforehand? The kaf chadasha or eina.
Kaf is really feminine, right?
Yeah. Prove it.
Kapot, which is not the best raya, because they're called avanim gedolos, but kaf achas, right? And we laid it many, many times in Hanukkah. Right? And in Parshas Kapachas.
Okay, so. O Eina Bas Yomba. So, Kaf, and what did you stir with it?
You stirred with it,
or it was Bola. Kazayas, let's make it Kazayas. I don't have to go to English. 10. Disease. Shabala Kizayas Cholov. And then I stir meat. What do I need? For bits. A new spoon, I stir one Kizayas of milk, and then I accidentally stir meat.
How much meat do I need to be in Vatalit?
What? 60. Because there's not even anything to talk about here in terms of Hanan. Because the spoon wasn't usher, right? You can't have Hanan if it's not usher. That's shmizi. Okay. Now, let's take another example. and this is what Noah's been talking about. How about a kaf? But not the case of the Gemara, not the case of the Shulchan Aruch of Hashana. The calf she shenir ba right. Okay, second case. This is your case, which is not in the Shulchan Aruch. Kaf Shanir ba right toch me eslays. This is a case of Kaf Yeshana. I mean, it was used a lot, but not the Shonar's case. You just stirred an unknown quantity, a large quantity of cholav rechil in the last 24 hours. How much do you need to be in vatla when I stir my cholent? 600. Right? Again, I'm not dealing with the part that was stuck in, the part that wasn't stuck in. Let's say the part that's stuck in is 10. Right? Because it's all full of cholav rechil. We don't really know if it's all full of cholav rechil, but it might be. We don't know how much cholav rechil it absorbed. We don't know how much it gave out, but it could be up to 10, so you need 600. These are not the interesting cases. What is the interesting case? Here are the two interesting cases. What about a kaf chadasha? Oh, eina bas yoma.
Right?
Shenir ba. Kazayas chilev.
You were named Minar, Kazayas chilev.
Or or a kazayis of half milk, half meat.
Right, kazayis of iser. What would you say in this case? Right? In this case, you're in a nair with this 10 kazayis spoon
1 ounce of basar b'chalav or 1 ounce of chaylev, right? The chaylev for the Ashkenazim. So this potential chanan, right? What would you say? If you say chanan, then you would need 600 because the whole spoon became treif. If you don't say chanan, you would only need 60. Again, the actual treif was boleya. Okay. Is this the question whether we say chanan in glios or whether we say chanan in the etzem hakli? What's the question here? Etzem hakli, there are no glios, right? It's a new kli or it's an eneven yomo kli. It's just 1 ounce of treif when it's the etzem hakli. This is the sugya of chanan b'kli atzmo, which the Ramah just paskin, we don't say, right? Which we don't say. Right, says the Ramah, but the Mechaber, we don't say. Okay, let's just have a fourth case. The fourth case is a kaf shel basar yeshana hu bas yoma mi niyor harbe basar. Right, you stirred a lot of meat in the last 24 hours. Shenirba kizayis cholav. Oh, kizayis chilav. Right, or kizayis chilav. Now, what's the story? It only had one kizayis of cholav in it. And now you're stirring meat, so you only need 60. It only had one size of chilev in it. Now you're stirring meat, you only need 60. On the other hand, it was full of glios. Maybe all those glios became chanan, and now you need 600. So here also.
I didn't understand the case. Is this still a case of where you stir meat?
Yeah, you always stir meat. Now you always stir meat. But the boxes on the top are universal. Yes. If you say chanan, you need 600. If there's no chanan, you need 60. This is the sugya of chanan, b'lua b'kelim, right? Chanan, whether a bli and a kli becomes chanan. These are two different questions. And how do the Rav Mah paskin? No chanan in the kli itself. Yes, chanan in the b'lua in the kli. Case four. You have a Ben Yomo meat spoon, it has lots of fresh meat glios in it. And then you stir 1 ounce of milk, or 1 ounce of treif. Now you want to know, and then you stir your cholent. Do you need only 60 mivatel of 1 ounce of milk or the 1 ounce of treif? Or do you need 600 to mivatel the whole spoon? Well, that depends. If the glios in the spoon became chanan, you need 600. If not, not. Agav, you get both kind of interesting ones. What if in the last 24 hours, you stirred 5 ounces of meat, and now you stir 1 ounce of milk. And now you stir your cholent. So if there's no chanan, then you only need 60. If there is chanan, you need 360, because now there are six. You have 5 plus 1, right? You can have all kinds of scenarios. Or what if you stirred 5 ounces of meat and then 1 ounce of milk, and then you stirred a pot of milk? If there's no chanan, you need 300 for the 5 ounces of meat. If there is chanan, you need 360, because you also need to off the milk. It became a little, okay, you can, if you're good at math, even if you're not so good at math, if you're just logical, if you're good at logic, you'll figure it out.
In case three, you don't know how much the daily you stir, you need
in case, if you don't know how much the daily you stir, that's case two. That's what you brought up, and I said I would deal with, right? Exactly.
Did we say if there's chanan, there's no chanan, do you mean Ramban
Rashi,
I mean,
so far
from
about Shari Sur. No, I'm not talking about Shari Sur.
So, like, that would be the closest.
Oh, okay, correct. I'll put a star here.
Yeah. This case there, just
La'ashkenazim Bilvat. Right? Because in the case where you stirred the Kazayas of Chaylev, it's only Shai Haran for Ashkenazim, not for Sar, right? Although in this case, it's so different. You stir a lot of chilav, that's not a shalachanan. Okay, correct. Now, here's where it gets complicated. So do we say chanan in the kli itself, or do we not? So what did the Rashba and
and the, what did the Rashba and Rav Rishonim say? So here is the Rashba and Rav Rishonim. What do they say? They say there's no Hanan in the Kli itself. But we do say Hanan in the Blios in the Kli. And what did the Ramban and the Ran say? There's no Hanan in the Kli itself. There's not even Hanan in the Kli. It's the Kli. They never talk about Hanan. And they're against all of Seven Sadi Beis. Not all of Seven Sadi Beis. Just Sifim, Hay through Zion. If I recall correctly. Now, what gets complicated is the Mordechai. Says the Mordechai, quoted in the Ramah, let's read on in the Ramah. V'yeh she'ein mechalkin ben kaf yashan lechadosh. Some people don't say the ben kaf yashan and chadosh, meaning this is nicknamed kaf chadosh. Okay, after all our work to figure out this kaf chadosh, this is just one of the many illustrations of the very important dictic principle that the Rishonim and Achronim are not makban on dictic. And that is a heter achila for anyone who doesn't want to be makban on dictic in the base medrash. In the outside world, I'm not sure. The Mordechai says he's not mechalik din chanan in blios and chanan in the kli itself. Rather, what does he say? Rakman klicheres shar kelim. He's mechalik din klicheres and everything else. What's in the klicheres and everything else? When blios go into klicheres, you can never get them out. And other kelim, you can get them out. So klicheres is more chanan than other kelim because it's stuck forever. Right, and what do they say? For omdim klicheres the after lahaf of Israel yagola or mina haklinas of avela of a lo b'shar kelim b'tov lachus l'chomra. Okay, not actually strict din, but it's proper l'chachila. You know, when you can, not l'chachila, but if possible, to be choshish the Mordechai. What does the Mordechai say? He says there's no difference. There's a difference between klicheres and shar kelim. That's the chiddush of the Mordechai. The only thing that's unclear in the Mordechai is what case is the Mordechai talking about. The Mordechai said, there's Hanan in Klicheres and not another Kalim. Was he talking about Hanan in the Kli itself? Or Hanan in the Beli in the Kli? How many different opinions are there about that question on this page? Nope. There are actually three possibilities. What are the three possibilities?
Yes, talking about the Kli. Or no,
talking about the Kli. Or both. No, it can't be neither. Then you can say anything. That's the Ramah. Right? What was the Mordechai chileg ben klicheres lishar kelim? In which case? So, in which case? So there are three possibilities. The three possibilities are in the case of the Balu and the Kalim, what we call Kaf Yashan, in the case of the Kli Atzmo, what the Poskim call Kaf Chadash, or in both. All three of these are on the big font on our page. This is the Mordechai according to the Ramah. This is the Mordechai according to the Shach. And this is the Mordechai according to the Taz. Right, basically, we see the Mordechai was very unclear. What do we mean? Says the Mordechai Lefi Ramah, Cheres, there is Hanan, Shar Kelim, there's no Hanan. It makes no difference when they're talking about Hanan and the Kli, Hanan and the Bli and the Kli, it's all one issue. There's Hanan and Kli, Cheres, not in other things. And therefore, he says that's more Machra than the Rashba. It's more Machra and more Mekel. It's more Mekel that there's no Hanan in the Plios in Shar Kelim. It's more Machra, there's Hanan in the Pli itself in Kli Cheres. And therefore, we shouldn't be Mekel like the Mordechai, and we don't have to be Machra like the Mordechai, but the, you know, proper Pesach is to be Machra like the Mordechai. Says the Shach, as very commonly, what does the Shach do very commonly? He's very chushed on this, is he tries to be logical. He says, you know what? It just makes no sense. It's stupid to say that there's Hanan in a Kli itself. A Kli is not a food. It's just a piece of metal or Cheres or whatever it is. A Kli itself cannot become Hanan. Only foods can become Hanan.
Kalim can't be treif because you don't eat them. They're not edible. Only edible things in Hanan. Therefore, says the Shaf, obviously there's no Hanan in the Kli itself. The Mordechai is a pure Kula compared to the Rashba. He says, even the Kli and the Kli, there's only in Cheres, meaning if we compare Mordechai compared to the Rashba, the Shach says he's only a Kula. The Ramah says he's a Chumra and a Kula. And the Taz says he's only a Chumra. Says the Taz, no, there's always Chanan Blias Nekema. What the Mordechai meant to say is that in the Kli Cheres, even the Kli itself can become Chanan. Okay. Now we have five different opinions, three of which are the Mordechai, as to whether or not the Kli itself can become Hanan, and whether or not the Blios in the Kli can become Hanan. Most Rishonim hold the Blios, the Kli itself can't become Hanan. The Mordechai agrees to that according to the Shach, but according to the Ramah and Taz, the Mordechai thinks the Kli Cheres, the Kli itself, even if it's new, can become Hanan. How about the Blios in the Kli? Rashba and most Rishonim think they can become Hanan. Ramban thinks they can't. The Mordechai, according to the Taz, thinks they can. And according to the Ramah and the Shach, he thinks they only can if they're in a Kli Cheres, not if they're in another Kli.
I'm not exactly understanding your formulation of the Shach, but why is it a logical necessity that Hanan can exist by Kelim because Kelim aren't Kelim? Like, we say Hanan, it's a keynote for this idea.
Correct.
Like, I don't
okay, no, you're making a good point. Meaning, you know, if you said Chanias Levin's Mash Halos Neveva on the Kli, on the Chaticha, then how could a piece of metal be in a Veva? But if you say no, it just means that it's a Xera that Chazal said that we have to, measure it a certain way. We have to, a Xera onto a piece of trade, something like that, then maybe it's not so illogical. Okay, you're right, good point. Maybe I was exaggerating how much I agree with the Shach. Lemaisa, most of them agree with the Shach here, though. Okay, now. Let us just, let me give you an exercise. Ready? Let's give you an exercise. We don't have room on the board for an exercise. So everyone copy down the board, and then I'll give you an exercise. And if you can do this exercise, then you understand, I don't know what I just did. I pressed something else. I'm honest, sometimes I feel like an old person. I just pressed something I didn't mean to press, and then I don't know where I am. Maybe that's because I can't.
No. You look 25.
Okay. Yeah. Now that's like another mask. Okay. Now, the ready for this exercise? Okay. I want to know if I say Hanan in Kelim. And you're going to have to tell me according to all the opinions of the Rishonim, or even according to all the alleged opinions of Rishonim. It really won't be so hard. Don't be intimidated. Ready? And then according to the Poskim. So, Hanan in Kelim. I'm just making a very, very simple 2x2 chart.
Very simple.
What? Because I want to stick a lottery showman in all of them. A lot of it, yeah. There's a lot of showman. You shouldn't take up room. Right? They weren't also skinny. Here we have what's called a clean. A clean. Yasha, meaning the sugya of Hanan Biblios Bekelim, right? Can the Blios be Hanan? And here we have what's called a Kli Chadash, meaning the sugya of Hanan Bekli Atzmo, can the Kli itself become Hanan? Here we have a Kli Cheres, and here we have Shar Kelim.
Okay, and now I'm just going to put all the Rishonim and the start with all the Rishonim. Okay.
Here we have the Mechaber Shita 1, which is the Rashba. Mechaber Shita 2, which is the Ramban. And here we have the Mordechai, Lefi, Rama, Shach, and Tas. Is there Hanan or not? Okay, tell me. An old Kli full of Blios, one of the Blios become Hanan and a Kli Cheres. What does everyone say here? Rashba says Hanan, yes. Okay, good. How about the Ramban?
No.
The Ramban says it's never Hanan even a Blios. How about the Mordechai according to the different Deos?
Good homework assignment. This. We should do like quizzes.
Yes.
Yes. Here, there's no machlokas. What's the psak? Okay. what's the psak? The psak is here. It should be pretty easy. Is yes. There's Hanan. It's a problem. And this was really Simon Sadi Bey's. A Stam Kli in their days was a Kli Cheres, and it was full of Blios, and, you know, we said Hanan, and we didn't ever have a mina not to, right? Okay, next, what if it's a different kind of Kli? Okay, someone help me if it's a different kind of Kli? What did the Rashba say?
Yes.
And what did the Ramban say? No. And what does the Mordechai say according to the three deals?
No, yes.
Correct. No, the Ramah says never another Kalim. The Shach says another Kalim, not even if there's Blios. And the Taz says yes. So here, all of a sudden, we have a decent Seiruf to think about being Somechon. Why? Because the Ramban's Makel. And by the way, don't bring me Kashi from Simon Tani Beis, even though we didn't say this at the time. It could be that Simon Tani Beis was only Kli Cheres. That was a Stam Kli in the old days, even though we kept imagining our Ramban to kill him. Here, you have the Ramban. Plus, you have the Mordechai according to most and the most authoritative interpretation of the Mordechai. So, how about the Psak? The Psak is, what does the Shach say? Okay, that you can't figure out logically. The Shach says, we're makel b'makom hefsed meruba b'tzeiruf, the Mordechai, according to me and the Ramah, and the Tazi doesn't even have a half me to imagine. The Psak is, mutter b'makom hefsed meruba based on a tzeiruf of the Ramban and the Mordechai. The Ramban says there's never Blios in there's never Hanan and Blios in Caleb. And the Mordechai says there's no Hanan, according to most people, there's no Hanan and Blios in other Kalim. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, going back to all our tipa things, if there's a hefsed meruba, we can be mekel because our pots are metal. Based on the same for the Ramban and the Mordechai. Okay, now let's go here. Kli chadash, meaning Hanan and Kli itself. Okay. Who wants to take the challenge of filling out this box? Who's up to the challenge? Besides Isaac?
No.
Correct. No, right? Meaning both are around Rashid, the Kli itself doesn't have. How about the Mordechai?
Yes.
Correct. The Ramah would say across the board in Kli Cheres. The Shach says no, never in the Kli itself. The Taz says, yeah, by comparison to itself, very good. And what's the psak? The psak here is, what's the psak here? It's funny. The Shach says there's no such shita, but the Ramah says tov lochush for my Mordechai, and the Taz also says tov lochush for the Mordechai. So here the Shach disagrees. He says there's no such. There's no such shita. The Ramah says tov lochush for the Mordechai. Let's see. The Psak. The Ramah and the Taz says tov lochush because the Mordechai. And the Shach says there's no one to be choshish for. Mutter. Or to all the Rishonim, according to the Shach.
Lamaisa, I don't know how often this really comes up, but nira to be solmeif on the shach. After all, it's against just a tov lachosh. Nira to be solmeif on the shach. It's not even the shach gets a psak in the Ramat. Shach gets a tov. Again, tov lachosh means that, you know, b'nei Torah should always be machmir unless there's some other factor. Okay, we can be solmeif on the shach. Only one last box. There's one last chance. Whoever's been, like, intimidated, hesitant to raise their hand, like, don't let it escape you. This is your last chance to fill in a box. Okay, who wants to fill in this last box? Yes, Binyamin.
No.
Good.
No. No. No.
Good.
I'm going to say no.
Correct. No one thinks there's chanan in this case. Why? The Ramban, the Rashi, there's no chanan in the kli itself. And even Mordechai, whatever he meant there's no chanan in the kli itself. By sure. Okay, I'm sure the psak is obviously. No. Meaning there's not really another option here. Yes? Yes, because you could, because you could just be choshesh for both sides. Yeah. You totally can. Okay. Now, there's one other factor they bring up, which is, this is all in Basar B'Chalav. What if it would be Shari Surim? In Shari Surim, what other Tzad L'Hakel can you throw in? Name him. Rabbeinu Ephraim, in Shari Surin, you could also throw in Rabbeinu Ephraim, meaning, remember the feel of things? What if it's Shari Surin, and you also have the tzeref of Rabbeinu Ephraim? So you have the Rabban and the Ran to be Solichon, and maybe, I mean, even in case we're normally Machmir, what if you have a tzeref of Rabbeinu Ephraim? So, Rabbeinu Ephraim plus the Rabban and the Ran, plus maybe even the Mordechai, maybe not, right? What if you would have Shari Surin? In Shar Isurin, you have a tzeref of the Ramban plus Rabbeinu Ephraim. What's that worth? The tzeref of the Ramban plus Rabbeinu Ephraim. Just Rabbeinu Ephraim. We know Ashkenazim don't rely on Rabbeinu Ephraim. What if the Ramban plus Rabbeinu Ephraim? The truth is, one second, it's actually a little more than that because you also have the tzeref of that Mordechai and Ravid because you don't really have a chaticha here. It's just an akli. It's just a taros of balua, and balua is like lach balach. Okay, but fine. Says the shach, says the taz, you can be mako. Says the shach, mutter, b'makom, hefsed, k'tas. He just says hefsed, not hefsed, k'tas, but the achronim prove that he means hefsed, k'tas. That's what the shach said, katan, b'ches, and the Gilead Marsha on the side says. And everyone agrees, I think. Afe hefsed muat. Okay, that's good. Hefsed muat. That's the opposite of Ruva. Mako hefsed muat, it's mutter. We paskin like the shach. Meaning, if it's shari surin, then we're mitzarif the Ramban and Rabbeinu Ephraim, we're makel for hefsed muat. And over here, shari surin. Here you have the tzeref of the Ramban, plus the Mordechai, plus the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Lamaisa will say the same thing, right? Lamaisa will say the same thing. Mutter, b'makom, hefsed muat. So really, if you're dealing with a bli and a kli, halach lamaisa then, the kli itself were never really choshesh becomes chanan. The only question of the bli is in the kli, they become chanan. And then the answer is, it depends. If it is a kli cheres, then the blias and the kli become chanan. But if it's shari surim, we're making for hefsed muat. If it's other kinds of kelim, metal kelim, then even a basar b'chalav, we're making for hefsed meruba. And in shari surim, we're making even for hefsed muat. Okay, that is the bottom line. That is it. Hey, if anyone has any other questions, now's your chance to ask. That's all I have to say about Sif Hei.
Didn't we have all those things that already got me?
No, not always. It all depends on what kula we're mitzarif.
But like, being a prior to another kula.
Yeah, but it all depends how big the other kula is. Not every other kula gets an automatic catch of tiyah for being a prior. Sometimes only if there's hefset meruva, sometimes hefset north, sometimes not. It all depends how big the other kula was.
So it's Ramban on it.
This Ramban is enough for hefset north, which is pretty big kula. You know. But not nah, it's not.
But in the first box, we're willing to go from completely usher to Tepsin Muad, but the second box, we're willing to go from Tepsin Ruben to Shaf.
No, Tepsin Muad also.
The Shaf
I understand, but that's what I think. You know, the Shaf doesn't actually put two and two together all the time, but that's what it seems. It seems to me, you know, whatever, you just have to round off some ways. You know, some, I mean, that's what happens sometimes, right? Sometimes you go from 1.5 to 1 and from 2 to 1. Because you have to round off somewhere.
We have the more of that too, for
example. I know, but I think you would still only make it with north, I think.
How related, if at all, is the sheet of the Ramban and the sheet of the Reg that we saw in the last quarter? The Reg says you always measure based on not the whole clay, but only on what comes out. Is that basically the same thing with the Ramban? That we never go based on, we don't assume you know, there's going to be kind of the full clay of measuring full clay. It's only.
No, the Raga is much more mikel than the Ramban. He says even if you took a klicheres and you boiled a ton of pork, you still don't need to measure kneged the whole kli. Because it didn't really get full of pork. It only has some pork in the pores of the kli. That's a much bigger kula than the Ramban. The Ramban would say if you have a 10-ounce kli and you cook 100 ounces of pork, you need to measure kneged the whole kli. You know, just we don't say chana. He's saying, not only don't we say chana, we don't even view the whole kli as full of blios. That's a much bigger kula, which no one holds from. Okay, se'if vav. Let me take a picture. Chatzi zayis. This is a foolish case in the Gemara. Right? The, and daf tzadi chesem and aleph. Kechatzi zayis shel iser shazar beheter tzor shishim atzor yizay ziheter le'evalo. Okay, you might say, what's the big chiddush? Like, yeah, one zayis needs 60 kazesim. 2 kazayis needs 120 kazayisim, half kazayis needs 30 kazayisim. Doesn't seem so machadish to you. But that's because you're not Mar Barvashi. Because a half kazayis of chela fell into a dekula of the bisra, and Mar Barvashi thought he could just use 15 kazayisim, 30 half kazayisim. Why? Just not to be made, because it was only half a kazayis. And he was wrong for two reasons. Amar Avur, Ravashi said, he says, first of all, look, Zalb Shudra, even in Drabbanan, you need Shishim. Just something Drabbanan doesn't mean you don't need Shishim. You still need Shishim. And B, what's his B? One, even Drabbanan needs Shishim. What's B? Chatzi Shiras Minatar, it's Doraisa. That's, so we Paskin, you need Shishim for two reasons. A, because Chatzi Shiras Minatar, so it's really just as bad as a full, almost as bad as a full size. And B, even if it's Drabbanan, you need shishim not to drabbanan. As the Taz says here, afilu be'isra drabbanan, tafi amrinan, quotes that sugya. Okay, so he's wrong for two reasons. A, chatzashir is no rice, and B, even if it would be chatzashir and isra drabbanan, you still need shishim.
I didn't catch, what did Maravashi hold?
He held that you could just use half as much. Use 15 zaysim to be vatal half the size, 30 to 1 ratio. So it was only drabbanan. He held drabbanan, you can be vatal with half the size. And his father told him, A, that's not true, and B, this is not the right one. Okay. Zayin. Beitza sheish be'efroach o'kibaz dam sheish bashal machira star sheish ma'achaz vata pleitasa. A beitza that has an efroach or a drop of blood. So a drop of blood, not in our modern eggs. In our contemporary eggs, what's the difference between our eggs and their eggs? Our eggs are not fertilized. Right? Let's remember fertilization, right? Chickens in this way are like people, right? A woman produces an egg every month, I mean chicken every day. If she has a husband and she's nizkekes to her husband and they have siyata shmaya and all the like that little sperm thingy wiggling through wherever it has to go through, then the sperm goes into the egg, fertilizes it, and there's some genetic material that could grow. If she's a single woman, then she still produces an egg every month and just never has any potential anything in there because there's no sperm in the egg. Same thing for a hen. A hen produces an egg every day, right? She lays an egg every day, which means like a few days ago, she started producing that egg inside in her ovary. If she has a rooster, and this cat gets to the rooster, then the sperm goes into the egg, and inside is all embryonic material which could eventually grow to a chick. If she doesn't have a rooster, she just lives in a nunnery, then she'll still produce an egg every day, but it won't have any possible life inside, because it only has the egg cell without the sperm cell. When she lays the egg, it looks exactly the same, because the sperm is microscopic, and if there's a microscopic sperm inside there, it doesn't make any, you can't tell any difference. But eventually, if she sits on the egg, if it has a sperm, then it'll grow an embryo, fetus, whatever you call it, embryonic chick, I don't think it's called a fetus there, and it'll eventually go into a chick and hatch, like we understand. And if there's no sperm in there, then it'll just be a stomp egg, and she'll sit on it, it'll just be a low-quality egg, because she'll have heated it up, and maybe not so good to eat. Okay, the Beta Sephroah, you, in those days, sometimes they would crack open an egg and find a little chick inside. Right? Okay, then it's treif. An egg with a chick inside is treif. Why? It's a big machlok to be shown. No one knows exactly why what isser it falls under to have a chick in the egg, but it's definitely treif. Nowadays, we can never crack open the egg and find the chick inside. Because A, first of all, they take them every day away from the hens, so a chick wouldn't grow. And B, there's no sperm in there to grow a chick anyway. What if you find a teepa of blood inside? A little blood inside. So there's a whole simon, about this. Don beats him. In the old days, if you found a little blood inside, that blood could be blood of an embryonic chick that was growing from the fertilized sperm and egg cell that started growing into a chick, and that chick sort of died and disintegrated, and it has a little blood. But then we assume there might be embryonic chick material throughout the egg, and the whole egg is treif, because it's considered Beitza Sephroah. In the old days, a Beitza with Dam is considered a Beitza Sephroah. Technically, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Dam, it depends exactly where the blood was, and you have to know if the blood is here, it might be just Dam or random blood. If the blood is there, then it's from an embryonic chick. The mice were always masquerade. That was in the old days. Nowadays, there's no sperm in our eggs. So therefore, it can't be from a chick. If there's any blood, it's just random blood that gets deposited there when a capillary burst inside the reproductive system of the hen while the egg was being formed. Just a random drop of blood. So it's not, this halacha would not apply, right? Halacha lemaisa, in the old days, if you found blood in your egg, the whole egg was treif. That's why, anyone have a, maybe by now you need a great-grandmother, but she will only hard boil how many eggs? 3 eggs. She won't hard boil 1 or 2 eggs. You want 1 or 2 hard boiled eggs? You better be prepared to eat 3 or find someone to help you out. Why? That's a Mefurish Ramah earlier. He says, because if you find blood on it, it's a chash, the whole egg is treif because of a chick. We're not sure, because we lost our bikias in which kind of blood means that it's a chick, which kind of blood means it isn't, and therefore it's going to treif up your pot, because you don't have 60 times the egg in your pot. So if he says you have at least 3 eggs, then it'll be batel to the other 2 eggs, midaraisa, because min bamino is batel, perov midaraisa, as we learned. And therefore, since we're not sure if it's treif anyway, and it's batel midaraisa, what we make on the pot, that's why you always cook 3 eggs, it'll be batel, min bamino, perov midaraisa, and it won't treif up your pot. Nowadays, you don't need to. You don't have to tell your great-grandmother this. You know, she should do whatever makes her comfortable. But nowadays, you can allow to hard-boil 1 or 2 eggs. Because even if you find a blood spot in the egg, there's no embryonic chick, the whole egg isn't treif, only the blood spot is treif. And the blood spot is only 1/100th, 1/200th of the whole egg, and kol v'chomer is only 1/2000th of the what's inside the pot. So nowadays you can boil one, only the blood spot is treif. Therefore, let's just finish this tangent. What if you crack an egg, not you hard-boiled an egg, right? You can't crack an egg before you hard-boil it. Hopefully you understand why. But let's say you are cracking an egg to use for frying or baking or etc. And you see a little blood spot. In the old days, that whole egg was treif. Because it could be an embryonic chick. And it could be a Beitza Sephroah, like we're assuming here. Nowadays, if you crack an egg, you see a little blood spot. Only the blood is treif, because there's no sperm in the egg. Again, I'm not talking for very granola. And you buy free-range eggs, which comes from hens that live with roosters, etc., then, you know, that's wonderful. It's being very, very nice to the hens. Do I free-range eggs? I'm all in favor. Then that's the old days. Then you live in the old days. I'm talking about if you buy normal supermarket eggs. Even organic eggs are not free-range. Even organic eggs still mean the hens are in cages and they're not marrying roosters etc. It just means they're not using artificial things. But it doesn't mean that they're wandering around the farm, right? So normal eggs nowadays, like almost all eggs nowadays, unless they're free range, are like home nowadays eggs. Only the blood spot is treif. You only have to take out the blood spot, throw it in the garbage. You can eat the rest of the egg because it's not from an embryonic chick. There's nothing wrong with the whole egg. It's just a drop of blood. How did the blood get there? When the hen inside her body was forming an egg, a little capillary burst and a piece of blood dropped there. Just like I prick my finger and a piece of blood drops while the egg is being formed. And then you crack open the egg and you find it. You just take out the egg. The blood, sorry, and you eat the rest of the egg. Halacha l'maisa, they're different minhagim. The minhag in America, based on a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, he says, as a chumra bi'alma, you throw out the whole egg. Why? Because, like, maybe it's a free-range egg that got snuck in by accident. And because eggs are very cheap, because Americans are very rich, and if you throw out one egg, you feel like you haven't thrown anything out. It's like, an egg is like free to Americans, because what does an egg cost? Quarter? Right? How much is a dozen eggs? What?
Three?
Okay, whatever, let's call it a quarter to round off. Right? Okay. If you lose a quarter, an American who loses a quarter, does he feel like he lost anything? Yeah, it's garnish. So we're mostly a chumra bi'alma to throw out the whole egg. Because Americans are rich, and because, like, you never know, whatever, who knows. You know, that's a chumra bi'alma. In America, the minute is like, we're mostly a chumra bi'alma to throw out the whole egg. It's important to remember this is a chumra bi'alma. Let's say you're in the middle of a recipe and it's your last egg. Ramosha wouldn't tell you have to throw your egg and then ruin your cake. So the chumra bi'alma, because the cake, you know, the Duncan Hines mix costs $4. You know, it's the chumra bi'alma to throw out the egg because Americans are rich. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag of most people is not like Ramosha. Rav Avya said, he quoted Ramosha and he says, we Israelis are not as rich as Americans. I don't know if that's still true nowadays. I mean, it is. Rock, right? Anyway, okay, the minhag in Eretz Yisrael and a lot of places just to take the tipas dam and throw it out and not to throw out the whole egg because they don't have the minhag, the chumra bi'alma of Rav Moshe. Okay, but whatever your minhag is, some people in America also want to say that even Rav Moshe wouldn't be machmir nowadays because in his days, the companies did throw in a few free-range eggs, you know, from like weird old-fashioned farms, and therefore maybe there's some chance, and nowadays no chance. All right, not getting into it. Let's get back. That was a tangent. Yes? So none of this question is separate from the question you have to check your eggs, because everyone agrees at least the blood spot is trafe, right? So the question whether you have to check your eggs is a different question. Meaning, being for a Moshe's chumra bi'alma, being in the old days, being in nowadays, something's trafe if there's blood. So do you have to check or not? That depends on... Well, most eggs don't have blood spots. So if most eggs don't have blood spots, do you have to check for blood spots? What's the rule here in halacha? So if there's a rov v'heter, do you have to check? What's the rule? I thought we discussed it in morning seder this year. Depends if it's a miyot hamatzoy or miyot she'ino matzoy. If the miyot is common, 60% rov, then it's common to have the other 40%. 80% rov, common to the other 20%, then you have to check if you can. For example, how many trefus are listed in the most common popular list of trefus in the Gemara? 18 trefus. How many do we check for when we shech the cow? One, which is the lungs. Why do we check for one and not the other 17? So, most of the Rishonim explain that it's Alpidin. Okay, the Raman thinks it's just a minute, the Alma, but we pass in Salpidin, you have to check lungs. Why? Because the lungs don't need a matzoy. Most lungs are okay, but a good 30% are not necessarily okay. It's a mean a matzoy. All the other trefus are like a 0.2% or something, like weird as a hole in the heart. Yeah, it's going to happen sometimes. That's too weird. That's not matzoy. We don't have to check for things that aren't matzoy. It's a hole in the brain. Not in the brain, the membrane around the brain, all these other weird things. No, they're so uncommon, you don't have to check. But the lungs, you have to check, because that is common. And that's why even the lungs, it's sometimes some kinds of animals, they don't check the lungs, because those animals, okay, they have different lists in the Shulchan Aruch, they do nowadays. They never have, it's very uncommon. Chicken lungs, nowadays some people started, because they were more machmer, but we never checked, because it was very uncommon. Okay, mi'an amatzoy. So the question you have to check eggs for blood depends whether it's a mi'an amatzoy or a mi'an amatzoy. Is it common or uncommon to have blood spots in the eggs? And that also changed from the old days to nowadays, but not because of the fertilization. Because either way, it's common to have blood spots. What changed from the old days to nowadays? the factories. The factories nowadays, they have an assembly line of the eggs. They run the eggs past a light and a camera. And they run the eggs are translucent, eggshells. Especially white eggs. Brown eggs are a little more shkia. Especially white eggs. The camera shines through. The light shines through. The camera catches it. And the computer reads the camera. If it's all white, or like yolk, whatever, it knows what it's supposed to look like. It passes it. If it sees a little black spot on the camera, they say, ah, there must be a blood spot in the egg. And it tells the assembly line, put that egg on grade B. You ever notice in America we buy grade A eggs? Where are the grade B eggs? Grade B eggs are the ones with the blood spots or other mishigas. And they don't sell the grade B eggs to consumers. They sell the grade B eggs to food factories. And when you buy, you know, Entenmann's cakes and one of the ingredients is eggs, they buy the grade B eggs because they don't care how it looks. It all tastes the same. All the have a little blood spot. We bought the machine from the Entenmann's cakes. Okay, so nowadays I'll leave it to MS. I've checked hundreds and hundreds, maybe more than that, of eggs in my life. It's very uncommon to find a blood spot. It's a miyachei no matzoi. I'll leave it to MS. You don't have to check for blood spots nowadays. It's miyachei no matzoi because in the factories, they weed them out and send them to grade B. I still check my eggs. I still check the eggs. Just that's what I grew up doing. And, I don't like changing the way I grew up. You really don't have to check your eggs nowadays because you change them all. You go through 100 eggs. The odds are you won't find a blood spot. And when was the... Raise your hand if you check eggs in your house. When was the last time you found a blood spot? High school. Yeah, I'm saying, like, I don't think I found this year. Last year? Not sure at last year, maybe the year before. Singing, you know, Bliya and Hara. I have a lot of kids. We go through a lot of eggs. You know, probably more than the Pfeiffers. Mirtz Hashem, you should surpass us. But meanwhile,
it's a lot of eggs.
Anyway, okay. So Lamaisa, you know, if he asks what we do in our house, we check our eggs for blood spots, but halachically, you don't have to. Okay, now let's get back to this. A beit is an efroch or kippas dam. The whole egg is treif, and it has a strong taste, right? Because it has an embryonic chick. So you hard boil it with other eggs. You need 61 to mevatel the plata of that egg. The time that comes out of that egg, you need 61 to mevatel. But a chal, you only need 59 to be vatel. These are the two exceptions. Egg in 61, chal in 59. Why are there these two exceptions? So this was the machlokas in the Rambam versus the Rashba and other Rishonim. Why are there these two exceptions? Why is chal? Sorry. I should put the egg. The beitza, not all eggs, right? Meaning a beitza from a treifa hen, we actually paskin has a very weak taste and it won't give its taste to others. Only if it has an embryonic chick will have a strong taste. But a beitzas efroach is 61. A cow is in 59. Regular iser is in 60. Why is that? So this is a machlokesim, the Rambam and the Rashba. But the Rashba and the other Rishonim, basically all the Rishonim, say like the, almost all the Rishonim, you say the Rashba. Says the Rambam, you know why Kal is 59? Says Kal is only Asher Midrabanan. Why is Kal only Asher Midrabanan? Because the mixture of meat and milk that came from a dead animal. Only meat and milk that came from live animals, the rice. Remember, it's in Pezayin, Chol of Mesa, or Chol of Shkuta, milk from a dead animal is only Drabanan. So, he says.
He doesn't go for the dirt.
What?
He doesn't go for dirt.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Birds don't have a cow. Hence, they're not mammals. Okay. Now, how about Beitza Sefroach? So, now, according to the Rambam, all these Shurim Darbanan only need 59. Do we hold like the Rambam? No. That's why the Shachat of Katan Chavav says, we'll, like the Rishonim, we'll say even Yisurim Darabanan needs 60.
Okay, what if I beat the Froach? So now here, let me introduce you to something that will be, remember when I said something like, we've learned the sodos of half of Taruvos? There's two kinds of Taruvos. What's called Lach B'Lach, what's called Yavish B'Yavish. Lach B'Lach means you mush things and their times mixed. Either your mamas mush them in, you know, you stir, wine into your vegetable soup, etc., or you melt lard into your vegetable soup, or you cook ham in your vegetable soup and the tam goes into your soup. That's Lach B'Lach. Yavish B'Yavish, since you have different things, they're just jumbled together and you forgot which is which. Like you mix one Arla pomegranate with 100 kosher pomegranates. Or you mix one can of treif vegetable soup without the label with six cans of kosher vegetable soup without the label, etc. That's, or that's a simple case. You have nine steaks, one is treif, eight are kosher, and you mix them up, you don't know which is which. That's called yavish b'yavish. There's a fundamental difference between lach b'lach and yavish b'yavish. If I had to ask you in one word, when you ever have to roast yavish b'yavish, what's the rule of bittel? Sorry, lach b'lach, what's the rule of bittel? Shishim. Maybe it's a raisa, it's a rabban, it's a minim, it's a minim, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, shishim. Yavish b'yavish, there's no shishim. That's not true. There's a weird case where there's shishim, but we're not going to take that into account now. Yavish b'yavish, there are two rules. If the items are not kosher, it's batel b'rov. If I have three meatballs, one treif, two kosher, and I forgot which is which, they're all kosher. If the item is chashuv, then it's not batel at all, ever. If I have 1,000 steaks are much more kosher than meatballs, and one is treif and 999 are kosher, they're all treif. That's the rule. There are different examples of dvarim chashuvim. Basically, simen kof is about one kind of dvar chashuv, simen kof aleph is about another kind of dvar chashuv, and the beginning of simen kof yod is about a third kind of dvar chashuv. One of the things is dvar chashuv called a birya, an entire light organism. A birya is not batel, yavish b'yavish. And a froach in a beitza is a birya, the Rambam paskins. And we paskin. So, what did the Rambam say? Since the Efroach, the Beitzas Efroach Be'en, is not batel at all, yavish b'yavish, because of birya, right? If this egg itself got mixed with other eggs, not the tam, and you haven't cracked them open, you don't know which is which. It's not batel even one in a million, because it's a birya. Therefore, to remind you of this, the ta'am of, or its ta'am needs 61 as a reminder. It's a birya. A birya is chomer. Why is a birya more chomer? If the end of a birya gets mixed up with yavish b'yavish, it's not batel. To remind us that yavish b'yavish, a birya is not batel at all, even the tam that comes out of a birya, Chazal said, needs 61 as a reminder. Okay. That is, basically, for the round, there are two principles. The tam of any isser needs 60. The tam of an isser rabbanon is 59, to show you it's only the rabbanon. And the tam of a birya needs 61 to remind you of the chomer of birya if here we get mixed in yavish b'yavish. Basically, for the Rambam, the 59 and 61s are symbolic reminders. Okay. For the Rashba, they're not symbolic reminders. They are really ways of getting to Shishim. Why is the Kal the 59? Because you really need 60 basar keneged hachalav shebekal. You really need 60 to be invatel the milk of the Kal. So why do you only need 59? Isaac, remind us.
The basar itself.
Exactly, but the chal is also part of the basar. The chal has chalav in it and basar in it. So when you have 59 against the chal, you have 60 meat compared to the milk, because the chal is meat and milk. So 59 is really 60. Okay, by the egg, he's going to say the same thing. You really need 60. But when people measure wine,
and fat and orange juice, and they want to measure shishim. What do? They measure ounces because they. When people measure eggs, what do? They count the eggs. Hold on. If you count 60 eggs against one egg, what if that one egg is a little bigger? It's not really 60. You need 61 to make sure it's really 60. Because since eggs have varying sizes, if you have 61, you'll be on the safe side to make sure that it's 60. You really need 60. But since egg sizes vary, you need 61 eggs to ensure that you have 60 times the Isser. Basically, what's the difference between the Rashba and the Rambam? The Rambam says it's a symbolic kula and it's a symbolic chumra to remind you of something else about this Isser. The Rashba says it's all just hechitimsis of shishim. Sometimes 59, you really have 60, because that kala is also meat, so it adds 1 to the 59, makes 60. And sometimes 61 is really 60, because its egg sizes vary. If you have 61, you could be a little more safe to make sure that the 61 are 60 times this other egg. No, but you can never tell exactly the small percent. How do you tell if this egg is 1% bigger than some of the other eggs? Ah, you're right. Ah, so what if even the 61 eggs are smaller than 60 times this treif egg? Yeah. So the Achronim go to town with that. I didn't want to get into it. Some of them say, well, really, the shell counts of the heter, not the yisr, beginning since inside the test. So really, 60 is already much more than 60. But really, even 60 small eggs are about the one big egg, or almost about the one big egg, because of the shells. They're so close that if you add 61, even 61 small is more than one big if you count the shell. And others don't say, but maybe you'd have to say that really you never know what. You just want the odds to be tilted in your half. Meaning, once you have 61 to 1, the odds that it's 60 to 1 are more than 50%. And maybe that's good enough. That I'm saying, but I think it makes sense. Okay, now, of course, this is just the etzem machlokas here is not a machlokas about chal and beitza. It's really machlokas about bittul shishim. What is Bittul Shishim all about? The Rambam, the Shitasim, remember I said, where does 60 come from? I said, everyone says just a rule of thumb for measuring taste, except for the Rambam and Rashi, who says just a, Rashi says zero. So also the Rambam says just zero drabana. That makes perfect sense. The Rambam is the Shitasim that 60 is just a sheer that the Rabbanan chose. Really, Tamke Iker is not Dorais if it's less than Kzais Bichleichilas Pras. The Rabbanan chose Shishim. Ah, they randomly chose Shishim. Maybe not Smachta Vel Lazar. They randomly chose Shishim. Then 60 is just an arbitrary number. So make it 59 to remind you of one thing. Make it 61 to remind you of something else. But for the Rashba, he's like Tosfos Most Rishonim. No, it is a estimate of Nesimas Kahn. If 60 is to estimate whether you can taste it or not, it makes no sense to add or subtract to remind you of other halachic principles. And therefore, they're saying even the 59 is 60, even the 61 is 60. So the Rashba starts with Tosfos and Most Rishonim. 60 is a way of measuring time. Therefore, whenever we give any number, we're really trying to get to 60. The Rambam says 60 is an arbitrary what the Rambam says, Otsin Mi'uto. It's a share of Mi'ot that the Rabbanan picked. So sometimes they pick 59, sometimes 61. It's all arbitrary anyway. Okay. That works beautifully, Lishitasim. It works so well, Lishitasim. It's not even like a Lundish insight, it's just shot. Okay, continuing. Haga. Kali Surim Hanogim is Manazeh. The Shach has a lot of trouble with this. He says, he really means except for agricultural mitzvah, Tluyas Maritz. And then he has a little trouble because some of the mitzvah, Tluyas Maritz, apply to Chutz Laritz. All right, just say it in any case. All these Surim Hanogim is Manazeh that are not Tluyas Maritz. Kulam is batal neshishin, milvad chomitz b'pesach v'yaynesach, hashem z'bar v'yil chasem. Chomitz b'pesach, the chomer of Pesach is not batal at all, isher mashu, and yaynesach is also bimino in isher mashu, or we say all of the zara is in isher mashu, as we explain in their halachos. Okay, now, the Shach adds a few other things, right? He says he forgot here to list the agricultural mitzvahs. So let's fill in the Might as well fill in the agricultural mitzvos, right? So let's let me get this board. Trees.
You get an email from someone who like only started listening to Rufus Tarulos on the internet saying, why do you keep saying trees? Okay. So what's the sheer bitzel for everything in the world? So by the way, when he says Yai Nesech here, he means Yai Nesech, not Stam Yenem. Stam Yenem we're much more makel about. Okay. What's the sheer bitzel? Kol Yisurim are Shishim. Chametz on Pesach is an Isur Mashehu. How about Yayin Nesech? Yayin Nesech is an Isur Mashehu, but only Bemino. Remember we said it's like the Rabbanan echo of Rabbi Yehuda. Really, you say Shelo bimino bishishem bimino mashu. What are other things? Other things that come in agricultural mitzvahs, the shop benches are teva. Shelo bimino shishem bimino is mashu. What else do we have? Truma. Shelo bimino shishem bimino is 100. Anyone know what two things we have left to put on the list? Exactly. Arla. And Fai HaKerem, Bimino Shishim. Notice Chametz is the only thing that's Usher more than Shishim. That's Usher more than Shishim. Ashlo Bimino. Bimino is 200 for both Orla and Fai HaKerem. The Rambam actually disagrees. He puts these 200, 100s even Shlo Bimino, but we don't hold like him. It's also a little bit lishita, say 60 is not really a measure of taste. So he doesn't think that shalomina we always go by shishim. Okay, this is the halacha l'maaseh. Now let's continue though. Uvovach esrin nosin tam b'kneira. As long as you can't taste it, avolam nosin tam b'kneira. But if you can taste it in this food, the aser mitzad atzman, it's intrinsically aser. I feel be'elef lo batel. Well, if you can taste it, it's not batel even be'elef. Kolz man shemargishin taimo l'chein. Hold on a second. Didn't we say it's rule of thumb? If it's less than a 60th, you can't taste it. That's for normal foods, not for milstav ilutayma, not for taste agents, not for flavorings. It's called right? A flavoring agent like salt and spice. Obviously, salt and spice, you taste a lot. If you put it in a 60th salt or spice, it would be inedible. Obviously, it tastes a lot less than a 60th. They're intrinsically also ain't a batel b'shishim and not batel b'shishim v'ayin the common sofsim kofhei. Okay, this is called milsa davida l'tayma. A milsa davida l'tayma. Milsa davida l'tayma is aser afilu b'mashahu Kolzman Shemargishin Taimo, as the Shach points out. It's not theoretically Mr. Mashu. Let's say one speck of pepper falls into one grain of treif salt. How do you have treif salt? It's a little hard. You have to work, be creative to find treif salt. Right? But, you know, you could do it. Someone was mocker of salt to their idol. Right? Now the salt is treif.
They have to salt has
to be in the salt. No. That's why he said only if it's also machbas atzmo, not if it's also because it got a taste of something else. That's really what he said in the end of the book of Kofay. If the salt is only traced to got flavor of bacon, it's batel b'shishim. So it's no worse than the bacon it came from. That the classic case that he had was, of course, melech b'lo midam. The salt is from salting meat and it's full of blood, it's batel b'shishim. It's no worse than the blood it came from, only if it's intrinsically usher. Okay, the whole deal in the Echron is not going to end to. What if the salt got taste from treif pepper. Okay, not getting to that. Anyway, so This says the shach. It doesn't mean it's a rashu. If one speck of salt falls, trace salt falls into my vegetable soup, of course it's mutter. Because I have an onda that I can't taste it. It just means that it's usser unless you're sure that you can't taste it. Right? It's usser by default. Meaning, usser by default unless you're sure you can't taste it. Okay. This agav, it's not so clear what the din is min bimino. What if treif pepper gets mixed with kosher pepper? That's not so pashut, because on the one hand, treif pepper is a milstav yiltaima. On the other hand, it won't give a tam to other pepper, because it's all pepper. This is very unclear, meaning that's min bimino. Min bimino is only nesir rabbanan, zera atu min b'she'ino bino. Well, how the word pepper and pepper, zera atu pepper in vegetable soup, then it's also the mashu. Or pepper in pepper, xera atu, you know, xera atu, min b'she'in omino, that, a normal b'she'in omino, ham and vegetable soup, right? Okay, that's machlok zachronim. If you want to know who says what, I will tell you. I thought I wrote it down here. Ah, here it is. Yeah. The Shach says Batul Shishim, and in Sivkat and Lamed, and Rabbi Kivager on that, Shach says, nope, it's Usher. So, says the Shach Shishim, says Rabbi Kivager, quoting other Achronim, nope, call Shachayu. Now, if treif salt gets mixed into kosher salt, then if the amount of salt that you would be able to taste in a tafshel, okay, that's a question of how far their mouth are going to be. No, that's not. So the interesting question is this. Let's take this case. Most of the people taimo. By the way, this is very good of lemaisa nowadays. The Shtaz has some strange havamina. He says you put fat for taste. Maybe that's not bottle. Put wine for taste. Maybe that's not bottle. But vinegar for taste, maybe that's not bottle. Says, no, we only mean we don't mean normal foods. We mean concentrated flavors. But there's very Nagel Maisa nowadays because we have lots of concentrated flavors nowadays. Right? Meaning, it's only salt and spice or milk of Iglataima. And all concentrated flavors made by factories, right? Any this powder or that powder or et cetera, all those are milk of Iglataima. Which means, just a classic example. If you have treif chicken soup mix that you bought by accident in your house, you can't say that chicken soup powder is bottle shisha. No, it's a concentrated flavor. It's not bottle unless you know that it wouldn't be tasteable. Because, of course, you can taste the word shisha. It's a concentrated powder. And likewise, a lot of industrial things, they make concentrated powders. Those are not bottle shisha. Okay. The interesting question is, when we say milstav yigal taima lo bottle, is that a din drabbanan or a din d'oraisa? Milsa d'avida l'taima is aser afilu he'elef kol zman shetamo nirgash. Is that an iser d'oraisa or an iser d'rabbanan? What would you think? What? What would you think? Yeah, but that's not what you'd think. Oh. I mean, yes, fine. So, Shkaich, you've studied enough to know everything's machlokes. But I mean, you know, just... What? You think Tom Kaker, if you taste it, you taste it. Like, 60 is a nice estimate, but it's just an estimate. There are exceptions to every estimate. You think it's the rice, and that's what Rikiva Eger says here. Says Rikiva Eger on the Shach Sivkatan Chavtes. Ran Tosu the rice, Rabbi Akiva Eger al Piran, Aser Mita Araisa. What's the Svara? The Svara is Tom Kaker. However, the Shach quotes from the Iser Veheter that it's only Aser Drabanan. That it's only Aser Midrabanan. And that is a little strange, Misvara. What's the Svara? That it's only Aser midrabanan. So, says the Rav,
what's the Svara? That might depend on what we're talking about. According to the Issur B'Heter, you know what the Svara is? The Rav says, this is the Issur B'Heter that was the basis of the Ramah, that the Shach denied, the Ramah claimed was his basis, when he went Basar Shema, not Basar Taima, who holds, similar to Rashi, that we really don't care about time. We really just care about Xeris because of Shishim, in which case, if you can taste less than Shishim, our bottom meeting Xeris was not Asim Darai, so that works perfect. Says the Rav, the Ramah, Bisifim Aleph, and Bez, the Lahalacha, Loas Liman Basar Taima, Ella, Zira Sakosov, Bimin Bishaino Mino, Batil Bishishim Minatora. Remember that whole Kamasdas, etc. Then that works perfectly. This is the Rav Sahara. The Rav says that works for the Issur B'Heter, because the Issur B'Heter holds like the Ramah. Or at least the Ramah thinks the Issur B'Heter holds like it, which is good enough. It's not going to work for the Shach. The Shach says all we care about is Tam. We don't care about Shishim. Meaning, if you didn't have a Shach here, you'd say beautiful. If you hold, like everyone else, that Tom Kaker is all about Tom and everything's about Tom Kaker, like we thought the whole time, then Tom is Tom. 60 is just a rule of thumb. And it's d'oraisa if you can taste it. If you're like that weird drama, like the Chabad Das explained, the Issur B'Heter, that really we don't believe in Tom Kaker, really what's d'oraisa is just halacha must be seen on him, Shein Amin and Yishishim, then if less than a 60th, it's only in it, didn't drop on it. The Shach himself is a little trickier, because the Shach is the one who says, don't be crazy. There is no such thing as Shishim, only Tom. Shishim is only an estimate. So therefore, it gets a little tricky. If you look in the Prima Gadim, not in on this Shach, I don't think he says anything. But in the Hakdama, to help us to revose, which is a good Shabbos read for everyone. Here he quotes that the Pri Chadash disagrees with Menachos Kohen, questions that the Ran says Doraisa, like Rabbi Kveger, etc. But he doesn't explain the Shach. But in the Hakdama to Hilchos Tarugos, he says that any ta'am less than a 60th is a ta'am kolosh and not a ta'am gomer. Even though you can taste pepper 1 in 500, that's not the real taste of pepper. That's just a fake taste of pepper. Any taste, meaning anything that's a concentrated taste, when you dilute that taste, even though you can taste it, it's not considered a real taste. It's considered a weak taste. And a weak taste is not d'oraisa. It's a little bit arbitrary. Okay, but that's the only way to defend the Shach. Tom Kolosh. Yes. Which one? Very nice. Very nice. I hadn't thought of analyzing that way, but I hear the time. I agree. It's a nice word. I like it. Okay. Now, let's just do one more sif, and then we'll have to call it a day. Tess, this is Shaharash. Kedei Rashi Yishbach HaMishim Etisha Zesim Heter V'Nafalo Shnei Zesim Echashol Dam Echashol Chelev Kol Echem Etzari from HaMishim Etisha Heter Levat L'Chabero 59 Heter, 1 Dam, 1 Chelev. Basically, the Dam is Levat L'Chelev 60 to 1, and the Heter is Mitzari to Levat L'Dam 60 to 1. Big Chedesh and Isser give me Levat L'Nisser. The king Esra Matishization shall heter, Shinoflin Xayas Chalev, who the Kedera Hersu Shloshim shall heter, Renuflato Xayas Dum, and his Arvu Shogay Mutter, right? Because if you're Marv, then Rebezi, there'd be Knas. It's basically the same case. You end up with 59 heter, 1 Dam, 1 Chalev, they're about to each other. The Shach and the Taz, and everyone goes wild here, but for us Ashkenazim, shouldn't it be Hanan and shouldn't it be Usser? Okay, basically, you just find some technical answer. I'm not going to go through the technical answers, right? Let's say, we're not dealing with Hanan here, we're dealing with the Sunya. Right, so that's Pashit. Basically, an Isser is Mitzar to Mivatul, another Isser. And the Shach comes up with lots of other scenarios also. Add there. Amla Bechoskin, Shnei Zeser, Echshol, Vina, Echshol, Basar, Kolech, Mivatul, Bero. For sure, if you have 59 ounces of vegetable soup and
1 ounce of meat and 1 ounce of cheese they're providing to each other. Because, like, they're not even usher yet. Right? Okay. That's what the Rush says. The Rush says it for two reasons. The Rush says for two reasons. What's his two reasons?
This is a Shuk Rush, which becomes a Shulchan Aruch Sadi Ches Sif Tes. What are his two reasons? One, Isurim Mevatlim Zeh. It's a Gemara.
The Gemara discusses whether or not Isurim are Mevatlim Zeh. In Zvach Da'ayim Ches, Rabbi Yochanan says, if you mix Pigel, Noser, and Tomei, then they're all Mevatlim each other, and you're Potter for eating it. Two,
this is a formal Svara. Does anyone want to give a practical Svara as to why they're Mevatel each other? Anyone besides Isaac? Isaac?
If it's all based on time, you can't taste it. Right? Lemaisa, there's 60 non-chilev and one chilev. You can't taste the chilev. I don't care what's also with mutter. It's time, either tasteable or not. There's 60 non-dam and one dam. You can't taste the dam. So lemaisa, if you can't taste it, you can't taste it. It's not a question of ichalos mevatlin zetze or not. It's just practically, you can't taste it.
Lemaisa, you can't taste the dam, and you can't taste the chelev. There's a long Dugla Mervova here,
who goes to town on this rush and says, you paskin it dead wrong. And there's a sheik that he's certain are mevatlin zetze. We paskin he's certain ain't mevatlin zetze. How can you say this is certain ain't mevatlin zetze? And in the end, he gives a hint. He says, maybe it's different when you're talking about Nesinas Tam. And then all the Echronim say back to the Dugmer Vava, of course it's different. Of course the first half of the rush is wrong. We don't postulate the first half of the rush.
Right? The Poskim say, no, Isurim are not Mevatel each other, formally.
If you would have a Chalos Bitl between Isurim, they wouldn't be Mevatel each other.
However, practically, if you can't taste it, you can't taste it. Tom Kicker.
What do you mean Isurim not Mevatel Zetzeh? If you have 1/3 Pigel, 1/3 Noser, 1/3 Tomei, the Pigel and Noser are not Mevatel Tomei, the Tomei and Noser are not Mevatel Pigel, and the Tomei and Pigel are not Mevatel Noser, and it's all the trace, and you get Kars. And Malchus. Okay, it's not an issue of taste. That's an issue of Bittel Barov. You're right. And if Bittel 200, you certainly involved that's it. Bittel 100, you certainly involved that's it. When it comes to taste, it's not a question whether you certainly bottle each other. Either you taste it or you don't. It's Metzias. And Metzias, you can't taste it. Therefore, what do all the Achronim agree? And this is in Rabbi Akiva Eger here, and in the Prima Gadim, and I think also this is quoted in the Pesach Tshuva. Sifkatan, no, maybe not. Maybe it's not okay, but if you look at the Prima Gadim, therefore, what comes out of that? Let's say you have, right,
two different Isurim that taste the same. What's my example? 59 Heter, 59 of Heter, of Heter vegetable soup. 1 ounce of Teva wine. And 1 ounce of Arlo wine.
Here, would the Isurim be Mevatel each other? No, because we held the Isurim can't be Mevatel each other. Only if you can't taste them, they're Mevatel each other. And here you can taste them. So it's a 2-to-59 ratio.
So here we say that they are not mevatel each other. This is what Rabbi Akiva Eger says. Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Prima Gadim in the Hakdama also, and other poskim.
Why? That makes sense. Formally, they can't be mevatel each other. It's only if there's no taste, there's no taste. But here there is a taste. It's 2-to-59 wine. What about the flipped case? That's a big machlokas, which the Pesachei Tshuva discusses and everyone else.
And we'll just end with the flip case. What if you have two Isurim of the same Isurim but different taste? Same Isurim but different taste. What if you have the same Isser, but different taste? Like, for example, 59 vegetable soup, 1 ounce of Arla apple juice, and 1 ounce of Arla dry wine. I'm pretty sure dry wine and apple juice taste different. Why I drink tastes suspiciously similar to Scotland, to Asti, you know, to apple soda. But the, you know, what about in this case? What would you think in this case? Should it be bottled or not? 1 ounce Arla apple juice, 1 ounce Arla dry wine, 59 ounces of Hector vegetable soup. What would you think? Leon. They, meaning it's they would be usher, you're saying, or mutter? It's usher or mutter? Right, it's mutter wine because you don't taste the wine, you don't taste the apple juice. That is the that I think that's logical, right? That is the sheet of the Imre Baruch, which is on the bottom of the Dogma Revar on the page, and the Chazon Ish, who's not on the page. So says the Imre Baruch and the Chazon Ish, it's mutter. Why? Because there's no taste. However, the Pesachi Tshuva quotes in the Chavos Das to aser it. And likewise, and with this we'll end, the Rabbi Kiva Iger on the bottom asers it, and the Prima Gadim on the page asers it. The Prima Gadim, that's a lot of big names. And Rabbi Kiva Iger and the Chavos Das say it's aser. Here, it's a little strange. Why should it be aser? The Maisa. I can't taste apple juice and I can't taste the wine. So it's a little funny why it's usher. Says the Prima Gadim in the Hakdama to Hilchos Taruvos, this Isser is only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan because it can easily be confused with a case of Isser. After all, it's like two Arla to 59 vegetable soup. It can easily be confused with two of the same Arla or two things that taste the same. So it says, however, the Prima Gadim, it's only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. That makes more sense because logically it should be mutter. Well, maybe it's Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, L'maisa or Machmir, but I think we're only Machmir as Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Really, you can't taste it, and the principle here is taste. Okay, Hadron Alach Simen Tzadi Ches. We'll pick up next time, Mirza Hashem, with Simen Tzadi Ches. If anyone has questions, of course, even the people on Zoom.
You said that the final case of 59 plus 2. Would
that be similar? Would that
math work at all?
So, positive about 59
half plus two, because those two is the important. That's like.
But one is
Basra
and one is
Chalav,
you mean?
Right, but they've been mixed together. Are those two different tastes? Or are they. Yeah, or is that one same?
Really? You would think that it should also apply. I just wonder if. Maybe the Prima Gadim he says only, or maybe if the English comes out and say this derisive, they would say, no, there's like we're defining a new taste here because they're the same Isser. There's a taste of basr chalav, or a taste of juice, of something, fruit juice. I wonder if you could, you know, say derisive, but I think the Prima Gadim would say only drabbanan. I think you'd say only drabbanan in that case. Taka. No, but I think even so. I think even if the chelav and damar mix beforehand, I don't see why it should make a difference. I think so. I think so. Yeah, okay, that's the question. Might there be a special taste defined as basar b'chalav? It's a little funny. Yeah, you know, yesh l'ayin. I'll leave that as a yesh l'ayin. Something to think about for homework. Something to keep you up at night. Yesh l'ayin.
Let's say someone actually, like, might have put in, like, an octave flavor. How does one, mean, like, you have to have a good taste to see? Like, there's no way of knowing whether, like, it's the type of thing that actually would give a taste, even though it's substitution. Like, how does one know? I mean, let's say you're not sure.
What do you, say that again? How are you not sure?
The way we said that we know, that if we think this